Okay, so let's dive right into this
Yeah.
fascinating world of mediation.
Right.
You've given us some really insightful excerpts about how to
Yeah.
successfully navigate the whole process of
Yeah.
mediation.
Oh,
It gets pretty deep into the
yeah.
psychology of conflict resolution, which is
Absolutely
certainly a
interesting.
lot.
It is really interesting.
And
It's
all of that starts with
yeah.
the opening presentations, right?
Right.
The excerpts actually suggest a name change
Right.
from opening statements to opening remarks to kind of set a more
Yeah.
collaborative tone.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, it's subtle but really powerful distinction.
Yeah.
Opening statements can sound very adversarial.
Oh, yeah.
Like you're in a courtroom,
Oh,
opening
yeah.
remarks set a different tone.
Right.
More collaborative, more focused on problem solving.
Okay.
The language that we use can unconsciously influence how we approach the whole process.
Yeah.
It's about shifting from an adversarial mindset
Yeah.
to one that is focused on problem solving.
I see what you mean.
Yeah.
It's like setting the stage right for a
Yeah.
productive conversation.
Exactly.
And the source really emphasizes making those opening remarks really purposeful,
Yes.
helping everyone kind of envision a successful outcome.
Yes.
There are some great tips in there, like
Right.
reminding everyone why they chose mediation in the first place. Why is that so important?
Well, I think it's the heat of conflict.
Yeah.
People often lose sight of their shared desire for a resolution.
Yeah.
So reminding them why they chose mediation helps to bring them back to
Okay.
that common goal.
Yeah.
It can be helpful to take them back to a time when things were working well.
Oh, wow.
That could be incredibly powerful for reframing the conflict
Yeah.
and reminding them of a time when they weren't at
Like
odds.
hitting the reset button. Yeah.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah.
So the source lays out this framework for these mediator openings.
Yeah.
Welcome, explain the process, confidentiality, logistics.
Yes.
What stands out to you in that framework?
I think what stands out to me is that all those elements are essential,
Yeah.
but the excerpt goes deeper talking about the importance of building trust
Okay.
right from the start.
Okay.
It highlights these three key questions
Okay.
that are going through the minds of the people in mediation. Can you help me?
Okay.
Can I trust you?
Okay.
And do you really care?
Wow, those are
Yeah.
such human questions.
They are very human.
Yeah, it really emphasizes that this process is about connecting on a personal level.
Yeah.
So much of it comes down to trust.
Yeah.
What does the excerpt say about how a mediator can address that first question?
Yeah.
Can you help me?
Well, it's about more than just having the right credentials
Oh, okay.
or experience.
Okay.
Mediators need to demonstrate a deep understanding
Where?
of the issues at play, eschewing the parties that they're in capable hands.
Right.
The excerpt suggests that mediators should recap their background
Oh.
and their expertise,
Oh,
even if
yeah.
it's already in their bio.
Oh.
It's about giving the parties confidence
Right.
that the mediator has the knowledge and skills to guide them through the process.
So it's like saying, I've been here before, I know what I'm doing, and I can help you navigate this.
Yeah.
It's about instilling confidence right from the get-go.
Yes.
But what about that second question?
Yes.
Can I trust you? That seems like a really big one,
It is a big one.
especially when you're dealing with
Yeah.
sensitive information.
Absolutely.
What are some of the ways a mediator can build that trust?
Parties need to feel safe,
Yeah.
like their secrets are protected.
Right.
They need to know that the mediator won't betray their confidence or use their vulnerability against them.
Right.
The excerpt talks about how taking time and not rushing the process could go a long way
Oh,
in
okay.
building that trust.
Yeah.
It's about more than just words.
Yeah.
It's about actions and demeanors,
Right.
exuding genuine concern for the parties and the issues that they're facing is crucial.
So it sounds like it's about creating a space where people feel heard
Absolutely.
and respected, where they
Yeah.
feel like they can be open and honest without fear of judgment. But
Right.
then there's that third
Yeah.
really crucial question.
Yes.
Do you really care?
Right.
What does that look like in action?
Yeah.
How does a mediator actually convey that they care?
Well, that's where I think the human element
Yeah.
really comes in. It's about the mediator demonstrating genuine empathy and concern
Yeah.
for the parties,
Okay.
showing them that you're invested in helping them find a resolution, not just going through the motions.
Right.
The source actually talks about how the mediator's own motivation plays a role here. if you are passionate
okay.
about helping people resolve their conflicts,
mm-hmm.
that comes across.
Okay.
It's about showing that you're not just there to collect a paycheck,
right?
But that you are genuinely committed to helping these people
yeah.
find a path forward.
It's about authenticity, isn't it?
Absolutely.
People can sense when someone is genuinely invested
right.
in their well-being.
Yes.
And I imagine that makes a world of difference.
Absolutely.
In a situation like this.
Yes. When a mediator can successfully answer those three questions.
Okay.
Can you help me?
Yeah.
Can I trust you?
Right.
Do you really care?
Mm-hmm.
It lays the foundation for a much more productive and yeah. collaborative process.
Okay. So we've covered these three crucial trust-building questions.
Right.
But the excerpt also delves into this concept of mediation mind shifts.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit more about what that means?
Sure. Essentially, mm-hmm. mediation mind shifts are the changes in thinking that parties need to make
uh-huh.
to move from entrenched positions
right.
to a place where resolution is possible.
Okay.
This is a really fascinating concept
yeah.
and something that we should unpack further.
Let's do that. But first, we need to take a quick break.
Okay.
We'll be back soon to explore these mediation mind shifts.
Right.
And how they can impact the entire mediation process.
Sounds good.
We'll be back in a moment.
Okay. Welcome back to our deep dive into the world of mediation.
Right before the break, we were starting to unpack this idea of mediation mind shifts.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting concept.
Yeah.
It really gets to the heart of how people approach conflict and how those approaches can change throughout the process.
Right.
So to recap,
yeah.
what exactly are these mediation mind shifts?
Essentially, mediation mind shifts refer to the subtle
okay.
but crucial changes in thinking that need to happen
uh-huh.
for parties to move from entrenched positions
yeah.
to a place where resolution becomes possible. It's about letting go of the need to be right.
Okay.
And instead focusing on finding a solution that works for everyone.
So it's about shifting from a win-lose mentality
yeah.
to a more collaborative approach.
Exactly.
But how do these shifts actually happen? Mm-hmm. Do people just magically change their minds during mediation?
Well, it's rarely that simple.
Right.
These shifts are often facilitated
okay.
by the mediator.
Okay.
It can be done in a lot of different ways.
Uh-huh.
But one common approach is through strategic questioning.
Right.
By asking the right questions,
yeah.
the mediator can help the parties see the situation
okay.
from different angles.
Right.
And perhaps consider perspectives they hadn't thought of before.
So it's not about the mediator telling them what to think,
right.
but rather guiding them
exactly.
towards these new ways of thinking through
yeah.
carefully crafted questions.
Yes.
Can you give us an example of what that might sound like?
Sure. Imagine a situation where two business partners are in a dispute over a contract.
Right.
One partner might feel that the other is not upholding their end of the agreement.
Right.
Instead of simply asking each partner to state their case,
okay.
the mediator might ask questions like,
okay.
what are your long-term goals for this partnership?
Right.
Or what are the potential consequences if you can't come to a resolution?
Wow. That's a really great example.
Right.
It yeah. highlights how those open-ended questions can encourage reflection.
Exactly.
And perhaps even help the parties identify shared goals
yeah.
that they might have lost sight of during the conflict.
Right.
It seems like there's a real art to asking the right questions at the right time.
Yeah.
Are there other techniques that mediators use to help facilitate these mind shifts?
Absolutely.
Oh.
Another powerful technique is reframing.
Okay.
This involves presenting the issues in a different light,
uh-huh.
highlighting the potential benefits of compromise, or focusing on shared interests rather than points of contention.
Can you give us an example of how reframing might work in practice?
Sure. Let's go back to those business partners.
Okay.
Instead of framing the issue as a breach of contract,
right.
the mediator might reframe it as an opportunity
yeah, okay.
to renegotiate terms
uh-huh.
that better reflect the current needs of both
Got
parties.
It. Okay.
This shift in focus can open up new possibilities
right.
for resolution
yeah.
that weren't apparent before.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
It's about taking something that feels very negative,
right.
a breach of contract,
right.
and turning it into a positive opportunity for growth and collaboration.
Exactly.
It seems like these techniques,
yes.
strategic questioning and reframing,
yeah.
require a lot of skill and finesse on the part of the mediator.
Absolutely.
Are there any potential pitfalls to watch out for?
Definitely.
Yeah.
One of the biggest challenges is maintaining neutrality.
Oh.
While the mediator is actively shaping the conversation
yeah.
and guiding the parties
yeah.
it's crucial that they don't impose their own opinions or solutions.
Right.
The goal is to empower the parties to come to their own resolution.
Okay.
Not to dictate what that resolution should be.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
It's like walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
The mediator needs to be assertive enough to guide the process.
Right.
But also step back and let the parties find their own way.
Exactly.
This brings us back to the mediator's role and authority,
mm-hmm.
which we touched on earlier.
Right.
The excerpt talks about this idea of the mediator striking a balance between control and neutrality.
Yes.
It's such a fascinating dynamic.
It really is.
On the one hand, the mediator needs to guide the process, keep things moving forward, and ensure that everyone is treated fairly.
Yes.
They set the ground rules, manage the flow of communication, and help keep emotions in check.
Right.
So they're kind of like the referee in a game.
Yeah.
Making sure everyone is playing by the rules.
Right. And keeping things fair.
That's a good analogy.
But at the same time, they can't be dictating the outcome.
Exactly.
They have to let the parties find their own resolution.
Yeah.
How do they balance those two seemingly contradictory roles?
It's about finding that sweet spot between guidance and autonomy. Well, the mediator sets the stage and facilitates the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, the parties themselves need to come to an agreement.
Right.
The mediator's neutrality is crucial for building trust and fostering a sense of collaboration.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
If the parties feel like the mediator is biased or pushing a particular agenda, they're less likely to engage in the process authentically.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's about creating a safe space for dialogue.
Right.
Where the parties can feel comfortable sharing their concerns and working towards a solution together.
Yeah.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground here.
Right.
Talking about those mediation mind shifts.
The techniques mediators use to facilitate them
and
the delicate balance between control and neutrality.
Right.
It really highlights how much more to mediation there is than just negotiating contracts or settling legal disputes. There's a whole psychological dimension that's fascinating to explore.
It really is fascinating.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And one of the key elements of that psychological dimension is the role of trust.
Yes.
It's something that we keep coming back to, and for good reason.
Mm-hmm.
The excerpt dives deep into specific techniques that mediators can use to build trust right from the start.
Yes. Those first interactions are so crucial.
Yeah.
It sets the tone for the entire mediation process.
Welcome back to our deep dive into this fascinating world of mediation. We've been talking about the importance of trust in the mediation process.
Yeah. It really is foundational to the whole process. Without trust, it's hard to move forward in any meaningful way.
Absolutely. And the excerpts that you shared highlighted some specific techniques that mediators can use to establish that trust right from the start.
Yeah.
One that stood out to me was this idea of acknowledging and validating the party's willingness to engage in mediation.
Right.
Why is that so important?
Well, it's all about setting a positive tone.
Okay.
By recognizing the courage and effort it takes to come to the table,
the
mediator can reinforce the idea that the parties are taking a positive step toward resolution.
Okay.
It can shift the focus from the conflict itself to a shared commitment to finding a solution.
It's like saying, you're both here. That's a huge accomplishment in itself.
Exactly.
It seems like a simple gesture, but it sounds like it can have a big impact.
It can. And then the excerpt talks about highlighting the potential benefits of mediation.
Okay.
This is where the mediator can paint a picture of what's possible.
Okay.
It's not about making promises.
Right.
But rather showcasing the unique advantages mediation offers.
So instead of focusing on the negative aspects of the conflict,
they're
highlighting the positive potential of the process itself.
Exactly.
What are some of the benefits they might highlight?
Things like the opportunity to preserve relationships.
Oh, okay.
Reach creative solutions that a court wouldn't be able to impose.
Right.
Or even just the satisfaction of having a voice and being heard.
It's about showing them that there's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Exactly.
Even if it's hard to see right now.
Yeah.
I like that. The excerpts also talked about the importance of eliciting suggestions and input from the participants.
Right.
It struck me that this is a way of building trust by empowering the parties involved.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on that?
By inviting participants to share their thoughts and ideas, the mediator reinforces their sense of ownership over the process.
Okay.
It shows them that they're not just passive bystanders, but active participants in shaping the direction of the mediation.
It's like saying, this is your process. Your voices matter.
Yeah.
It seems like that could be really powerful in terms of getting buy-in from the parties involved.
Absolutely.
But how does the mediator actually use that input to guide the process towards a successful outcome?
It starts with active listening.
Okay.
The mediator needs to pay close attention to what the parties are saying.
Uh-huh.
Not just the words themselves,
okay,
but the emotions and underlying needs being expressed.
So it's about reading between the lines, understanding the subtext.
Exactly. It's about listening for those unspoken concerns and interests that might be driving the conflict.
Okay.
And then it's about helping the parties themselves
recognize
those underlying needs.
That makes sense. It's not just about hearing the words, but understanding the deeper meaning behind them.
Right.
How does that understanding help the mediator guide the process?
Well, once the mediator has a clear grasp of the underlying needs and interests, they can start to look for common ground and potential areas of compromise.
Okay.
It's like piecing together a puzzle.
Yeah.
Taking all those individual pieces and information.
Right.
And seeing how they fit together.
It sounds like it requires a lot of skill and intuition.
It does.
Are there other techniques that mediators use to guide the process once they have that understanding?
Yeah. We talked earlier about reframing.
Right.
Which can be a really powerful tool.
Yeah.
It's about presenting issues in a different light,
mm-hmm.
highlighting the potential benefits of compromise.
Okay.
Or focusing on shared interests rather than points of contention.
So instead of saying you're wrong,
yeah.
it's about saying, let's look at this from a different angle.
Exactly. It's a subtle shift, but it can make all the difference.
Wow.
And then there's reality testing.
Okay.
Which helps parties assess the strengths and weaknesses of their positions.
Right.
It allows them to make more informed decisions about the risks and potential benefits of different courses of action.
So it's about grounding the conversation in reality.
Right.
What happens, though, if the parties are really stuck?
Yes.
When their positions seem completely irreconcilable.
That's when the mediator really needs to draw on their skills and experience.
Correct.
It's about helping the parties find a path forward.
Yeah.
Even when it seems impossible.
Right.
Sometimes that means taking breaks.
Okay.
Working with the parties individually in caucus sessions.
Yeah.
Or even just acknowledging the difficulty and validating their feelings of frustration.
It sounds like there's no magic formula.
Right.
It's about being adaptable and responsive to the needs of each unique situation.
Absolutely. Every mediation is different.
Right.
Every conflict is unique.
Yeah.
And the mediator needs to be able to adjust their approach accordingly.
It's really an art form, isn't it?
It is.
It's about being able to navigate the complexities of human interaction.
Yeah.
And guide people towards a resolution, even when they can't see it themselves.
I think that's a beautiful way to put it.
Yeah.
It's about creating a space where understanding and compromise can flourish,
uh-huh.
even in the midst of conflict.
Well, this has been an incredibly enlightening deep dive into the world of mediation.
Yeah.
We've explored the psychology behind conflict resolution, the importance of trust, and the subtle but powerful techniques that mediators use to guide the process toward a successful outcome.
It's been a fascinating conversation.
Yeah.
And I think it really highlights the transformative potential of mediation.
Right.
As a way to resolve conflict and build stronger relationships.
Absolutely. So as we wrap up this deep dive,
yeah.
what is the one key takeaway you'd like our listener to remember about mediation?
I'd say it's this. Mediation is about more than just reaching an agreement.
Okay.
It's about shifting perspectives. Building understanding and opening up new possibilities for communication and connection.
Beautifully put. And to our listener, we'd love to hear your thoughts. What resonated most with you from this deep dive? Has it changed how you view conflict and the possibilities for resolution? Share your insights with us. Until next time, happy mediating.